Did it work?
Joe, what up?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
It's all loud as dog shit.
Really?
It's all right. I turned it down.
Okay. All right. Well, if you want to start it off, you can go ahead.
I don't want to.
What?
You left my Google Hangouts.
Yeah, because it was fucking everything up.
All right, let's not worry about intros and shit like that. Let's just talk about some sports.
It has to have an intro, dude.
It doesn't. That all can be done later. Just worry about, like, the bulk of the program. And you can edit these down, I'm pretty sure.
Or, like, add the intro later?
Yeah, like, you can add clips and stuff, but what I'm saying is this whole minute of conversation that we've been having that isn't related to what we're trying to talk about, we can delete this.
Oh, yeah, I know. Totally.
Like, we can edit this out. But then, okay. You know, and we can clip it later if there's dead air or whatever.
Okay. That's good. Okay. All right. So you want to go with the first topic?
Yeah.
Let's see what we got going here today, guys.
March Madness.
Okay. So we're going to go.
I hear your bracket is doing really, really well, you know?
Well, that was my first bracket. Currently at 28%, you know, losing more than 70% of the games.
Tell me, did you just say 28?
28%, folks, you heard it.
Wow. Okay.
But, I mean, really, who had the University of Rhode Island being Oklahoma with Trae Young, who had Syracuse, who shouldn't even be in the tournament, beating TCU. It's just crazy, man.
And like, then beating Syracuse also beat Michigan State or Texas A&M. I don't know which one did they
beat. No, they beat Michigan State, and it was – that's mind-boggling because people like Seth Greenberg and ESPN had them going to the Final Four, even to the title game. Some people had it, so –
because Michigan State's a bunch of bosses. They're, like, supposed to be one of the best teams in the country. And getting
yeah, and they got
Syracuse.
They got Todd Izzo, who's one of the best coaches in the league. But they also, the Syracuse, have Jim Boeheim, who's also a really good coach. So probably why they won. But when we went to the Sweet 16, I don't really have many people.
All you guys are gone.
So, I mean, left, I have Virginia and Arizona, and I had them in the south, but it's Kansas State and Kentucky. I had Tennessee versus Cincinnati, but it's Loyola, Chicago, and Sister Jean, and Nevada with the Martin twins.
The Martin twins. Those guys are ridiculous.
And 43.
Okay, and then I also had Missouri taking on Gonzaga. The Zags are still there, but they're playing Florida State instead, so, you know, one. I had Michigan versus North Carolina, which I can't fucking believe North Carolina lost so badly to Texas A&M.
They got destroyed. They got absolutely obliterated.
Texas A&M is just, they're such a big team. They can offensive rebound. They just got guys that could just post you up, and it's just kind of not fair. But I'm surprised because they're still a 7 seed, you know?
Yeah.
And then I had Villanova and Wichita State. I'm surprised got knocked out so soon. They got knocked out by
Marshall.
Who did they lose to?
They lost to Marshall.
Marshall, too. Like, what is that?
We are Marshall. Haven't you seen that Matthew McConaughey movie?
No.
It's not very good. Don't watch it.
And, I mean, I still got Nova taking it all. So, they're still in the hunt. They're going to beat Cates, West Virginia.
Who's your who'd you pick as your champion?
Champion, I got Villanova.
Okay.
I got Villanova.
At least your champ is still in.
I had Villanova versus Virginia in a 68-63 game. But obviously, Virginia got completely fucked in the first round, so that's not happening.
Absolutely.
I think it could be Michigan. Michigan's looking good. Mo Wagner. my little German friend. He's a baller. Little 6'9" German dude, shoots threes, plays the inside game, can rebound, pass. But other than that, my bracket is shit, though.
All right, Steve, now that you've talked about your bottom of the barrel bracket, I'm going to talk about my top of the line bracket. This is, I'm in the 93rd percentile, okay? I'm pretty high up there, all right? So, you know, I didn't pick, you know, some of these upsets, the UMBCs over Virginia, didn't pick that one.
That was a shocker. I mean, come on.
In fact, I had Virginia going to my Final Four.
You would think no one scored more than 70 points on them all season.
Yep, and a 16 seed did it.
It's crazy.
Has literally never happened. 16 seeds are now 1-140-something against number one seeds.
And they can come back, break even.
Yeah.
Like, you know, 100 years.
It'll take about 80 years, but they'll get there. Let's see. What else? We had some of the same picks. In the Sweet 16, we had Tennessee and Cincinnati, but it's Loyola and Chicago. Loyola, Chicago, and Nevada. I had Tennessee, Cincinnati also. That one got fucked. I got Kentucky going to the Sweet 16, though. I predicted that one.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they would beat Arizona, though, not Buffalo, but... Hey, who saw that one coming? No one saw that coming. Buffalo against Arizona. Arizona should have been in the Sweet 16.
Oh, they people picked them to go Final Four. Even some people picked them as champs. I didn't get them that far, but they had the odds. And they're going to be number one pick.
Yeah, see, I had them. I had them beating Buffalo. I don't know why that how that happened differently, but. I gave them the upset against Kentucky. I said Kentucky would beat Arizona. So, you know, Kentucky's in my 16. Nice.
I mean, they killed Buffalo.
Yeah.
Who do you have in your Elite Eight?
In my Elite Eight, I have Gonzaga playing UNC. UNC's out. Gonzaga's still in, though. Still have a chance if they can beat Florida State. My Midwest, Auburn and Michigan State, both of them eliminated. So that one's fucked. Let's see. Up at the East, we have Nova against West Virginia. I picked Nova against Texas Tech for the Elite Eight. And that side of my bracket, the lower half of the East bracket, I have 100%. I guess Florida would win, Texas Tech would win, Butler would win, Purdue would win. And then in the 32, I had Purdue beating Butler and Texas Tech beating Florida. Both of those came true. So if Texas Tech beats Purdue, then I made it a clean sweep out of that one.
Texas Tech's looking good, but Purdue's such a good team. I have them going.
I say upset. Texas Tech, let's go.
And then what's your Final Four looking like?
My Final Four is going to be Michigan State, UNC, Virginia, and Villanova. And that one kind of got screwed up really bad.
So you're cutting half on that.
Yeah. No, every team is out except Villanova. So unless Villanova wins the national championship, then – that's the only scenario where I would come out of this a winner, because if Villanova keeps winning.
And they can do it. I mean, they got a good team. They got a good program.
They're always in the Final Four. It's like the last, like, 5 years they've been in the Final Four.
Yeah. What do you think is going on as far as, like, all these upsets? Like, why do you think – you know, every year there's an upset or two, but I feel like this year there's a plethora of upsets. Like, there's almost every game you can kind of expect an upset. Do you think there's any reason for that, or is it just kind of luck of a draw?
I don't know what happened. I watched the end of that game, and it just looked like Virginia had given up. I don't know but that's the end of the game, you know, when they were already down 20. They were still down, like, 10 or 11 or 15 at the half. And if you're a number one losing that bad to a 16, I don't know how you're supposed to, like, either have to get really fired up or, I don't know, maybe they just gave up. Who knows?
Yeah. What I'm kind of thinking is these big programs that have all the one-and-done guys like Kentucky, Duke, you know, with the exception of Grayson Allen, because he had to stay there 4 years to kind of gain his size and stature to kind of get better and get a higher pick in the NBA. But, like, I'm kind of thinking these other smaller schools like UMBC and Loyola Chicago, you know, they have juniors and seniors playing who have played together for a long time and have chemistry.
Yeah.
Instead of all these one-and-done teams who are like, yeah, they're really talented, but they've only played together for the season, and then they leave, and it's just a bunch of freshmen playing with occasional senior here and there.
Yeah.
So I kind of think chemistry is kind of taking over talent because they're all good, you know, or they wouldn't be there. But I think it comes down to chemistry right now because
– I can see that, and I have another example. Michigan State, who got knocked out early, they had – last year they had some of the best freshmen in the country. Like, their recruiting class was, like, ranked right up there in 1, 2, and 3, like, in the country. And they ended up getting ousted pretty early. And same happened this year, you know. They had basically the same players. You know, I think they may have had one or two enter the draft from last year, a couple older guys. But this year there was a bunch of sophomores, and it wasn't enough. So I think you do have a point where they need to grow together. You know, you need to have some chemistry there. Can't just bring in stars from all across the country and put them on a squad.
Exactly. Keep bringing them in, keep rotating them. It's like you can't just keep going in and out, or else it's just like – you're having continuity, you know?
Yeah.
You're having rapport with each other. You're just kind of like, all right, this guy's good. I'm good with this ball, and hope we win, you know?
That, and I think when you get these big high school players, like the players who are, like, ranked nationally when they're in high school.
Like Zion Williamson.
Even if they go to a big program, they all have been used to being there. Like, for their entire lives, they're all used to being, like, the number one, like the star. And then they show up at Duke, and they're not the star. They're supposed to be a sixth man or a seventh man.
Really player, you know?
And that's got to be pretty jarring, you know? Like, going from in high school, everyone in your town knew who you were. Everyone in the country knew who you were. And then all of a sudden, you're at one of the biggest programs in the country, and you're not the star anymore. You're eighth off the bench. Like, it's
– I feel like it's really important for these schools to pick people – not only based on their talent, but based on their attitudes, because, like you said, you go from being the stud to you're supposed to work as a team now. You don't have to carry the team anymore. And if someone's got a sour taste in their mouth for that and they don't like it, it could cause problems on your team.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, we'll see how it goes. I mean, the NCAA's got a lot of work to do as far as, like, fixing what's wrong with it. I don't know if it can be fixed, obviously.
Yeah,
checking that out right now, but you know, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
So I think, do you have anything else to say on that, or do you want to go to the next topic?
Well, I mean, I don't know much about this, but I feel like the way basketball is moving nowadays, with like the evolution of three-pointers and like people doing that more and more, shooting is one of like it's. I'm not going to say the easiest, but it's like a bread and butter kind of move. It's
fundamental.
You don't really have to be taught how to shoot. If you're a good shooter, you're a good shooter. You know, you don't. Yeah. So I think good shooters can go to schools like UMBC, and good shooters can end up playing at schools like Davidson. And like, you know, you don't have to be. You can be a great shooter at a small program. And so I think with the increased importance of accuracy in basketball, I feel like that's what gives these smaller schools a better chance than they used to have, is now that, you know, if somebody can drain threes, you can drain threes at UNC, or you can drain threes at Davidson. It doesn't matter where you go.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. it's definitely the game is changing, and that's why I think the college game is a little different, and definitely the NBA is kind of shifting towards players like Cat, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis, Boogie, all these big guys. You know, they used to be like, you could be a Hall of Famer and be a Shaq, you know, who can't make free throws and slams the ball, and that's his point.
Yeah.
And birds. But now they're looking for players who have it all. You know, Cat can dribble, Cat can pass, Cat can shoot threes. He's got mid-range, he's got inside game.
Yeah.
And then you got players like Steph, who's just quick. He's obviously the best shooter in the game probably you've ever seen, probably right above Ray Allen. And then, you know, now we got a bunch of guys that, you know, you got to get a bunch of filler players, I guess, like Nance or Clarkson or whatever, yeah. Crowder. But, like, it's changing. It's pretty weird.
It is pretty weird. They've put a lot of emphasis on shooting being important. And also, you do have to be very well-rounded.
I feel like there's a less defense being played by the superstars. Like, the superstars who are really good don't play good defense. LeBron is a different story, obviously, because he's the best player ever, I think, in my opinion. But people like James Harden.
James Harden will never play defense, yeah.
Now he's playing a little more defense because he has more help. I feel like he's a little less lazy. He feels like they have more of a chance, so he has more reason to play defense, I guess.
Yeah.
He used to be offense, and that's it. Like, can't think of any of these other guys. Like, Kyrie and the Cavs used to be more offense and less defense, obviously. Steph, not an elite defender, but he's obviously amazing in offense. But it's going to be a good one, you know. It's going to keep going and changing, and we'll see where it goes. I want to see who wins this year. I think the Rockets have a chance.
Do you think the Rockets have a chance this year?
Yeah, I do.
I don't think they can beat the Warriors. Not in a 7-game series.
It really depends. I mean, the thing that's going to happen is right now, KD just hurt his rib. He's out for a couple weeks. You know, Steph's got those ankle injuries. He's got baby deer ankles. you know, run model ankles. And then we got Clay, who, like, broke his, I think it's his right thumb, his shooting thumb. So that's going to fuck you up later. And then Draymond last night, somebody, I think he hurt his groin or something, but either way, they scored the lowest they've ever scored under Steve Kerr since 2014-2015 season. They scored 75 points last night because they didn't have anybody.
Yeah. And,
I mean, the Rockets, when Chris Paul was out at the beginning of the year, he missed 18 games, and they only lost one of them without him. So I think the Rockets do more with what they have when people are gone than the Warriors do. They're just
– yeah. So I guess it will depend on if they can get everybody back and get everybody back at 100% because, you know, even if you do come back from twisted ankles and sprained ankles, you could not be at 100%. So – I think if they get their entire squad back at 100%, it's a totally different story than if they're playing with 50% Steph and, you know, 75% Clay.
That's what it's going to come down to. And Houston, I believe, is going to get the number one seed, so they're going to have home court advantage. And I think that's going to be the tipper. I mean, I think if Warriors had home court advantage, they would probably still be able to hold off Houston. But in Houston, if it goes to Game 7, there's no way they beat them. Not with CP3 and Harden and Capella and Gordon and Tucker and all those guys. There's just too many. They have too many pieces that are overall. They have more pieces, I think, than the Warriors.
Controversial opinion there, Steve.
It's super. I mean, like Stephen A. and Max Cohen go all back and forth all the time, right? Because there's really no telling until it happens because it's just going to be too close.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could see it going down kind of how the 15-16 season went, where the Cavs ended up winning the finals because they played a Warriors team that was beaten up from just like playing these 6-7 game series against tough opponents.
Yeah.
I could almost see something like that going down again. If whoever makes it to the finals is probably going to be pretty banged up from playing the Thunder, playing the Warriors, playing the Spurs, playing whoever makes it in the West, the Rockets, like that whole. The Blazers. The West is stacked. And whoever comes out of there is going to be pretty beaten up.
Yeah. I think they'll be gassed by the time they get to the finals, both teams.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm excited. Right.
You want to switch on to football?
Yeah, let's talk about some football.
So, there's been a lot of trades and acquisitions in the last week or so. Today is, what, the 20th? I think things started happening about 5 or 6 days ago. Big things like, you know, you got Joe Thomas from the Browns retiring after 10 losing seasons with horrible quarterbacks, RIP Joe Thomas. No, he didn't actually die. He just quit. Which I thought was kind of weird because he's not that old, and I've seen linemen play longer than him, and they're just starting to put pieces together, so I don't really know why he quit right now.
What was his injury? It was a neck injury, wasn't it? Or was it a shoulder?
It was a bicep or a shoulder injury, yeah.
Yeah. But what? He played 10 years and had 10 Pro Bowl seasons.
He didn't miss a game until he got injured this year.
Yeah, so this would have been his 11th year, I believe. And he had 10 straight Pro Bowl seasons before that.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy, man.
I kind of get it. You know, maybe it's just too much. You're burnt out. Maybe you just want a break. Maybe he'll come back in a year. We've seen people do that before. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe he just wants off the Browns.
Maybe. I mean, he's a legend in Cleveland because they love him there.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
I don't know if he'll come back, but if he does, good for him.
Yeah.
Other big things, we'll go, I guess, in chronological order. Alex Smith getting traded to the Skins.
Oh, that's pretty big. And Kirk Cousins signing with the Vikings.
Yeah. I was surprised that they traded Alex Smith.
Well, the Chiefs are pretty confident in Patrick Mahomes. They traded up to get him. And I think they're confident in what he can do. I don't know what he can do in college or in pros. We saw what he could do in college. I actually used to watch some Texas Tech games. Well, you remember Devin, right, Steve?
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually got me into Texas Tech, and I started watching a couple games this year because I heard that – or last year, sorry, because Mahomes would get drafted. And he's pretty talented. He's crazy, speedy, he's elusive, but he can also throw the ball. And I don't know how well that's going to translate to the NFL. We haven't seen a mobile quarterback play effectively for a long career. In a long time. So who knows how it's going to be.
I think it's definitely going to be a test run for them. I mean, I kind of feel bad for Alex Smith. He was kind of the scapegoat for the reason that they lost in the playoffs, which, I mean, yes, you can kind of say Alex Smith is like the poster boy for short passes under 10 yards and just not taking risks, but being a solid quarterback, which is good, but I think they wanted that guy that's a gunslinger like Mahomes. And
Alex Smith was one of the probably the safest quarterback in the NFL. Oh, yeah. He doesn't turn the ball over, and if he does, it's usually a great play by the defense. He's not throwing stupid balls. He's not heaving 60-yard bombs up to his receivers. But, I mean, he's safe, and he gets the job done. They went, 13-3 2 years ago, or actually no, they went 10-5 because they started off 0-5 and ended up going to the playoffs. I remember that.
That was wild.
Yeah, you know, he's actually a San Diego. He's from San Diego. Alex Smith is. Do you know that?
Yeah, him and Reggie Bush
played on the same team at Helix.
Oh, dude, that's why I got respect for them. I mean, hometown guys, you always got to root for him.
Yeah.
I liked him on the Masters, but that didn't work out, obviously.
Yeah. I got some other news. Jaguars, who fresh off their AFC championship loss, they released Allen Hurns, Allen Robinson, and Mercedes Lewis. All in like 3 days. That's kind of crazy.
So Allen Robinson just had that, I think it was an ACL tear this year, the first game of the year.
Yeah.
And maybe they're a little scared to re-sign him because of that. But Allen Hurns, he was productive. He's like one of those slot receiver, Eddie Royal kind of like,
Travis
Benjamin kind of guys, you know? I mean, like, you can replace him if you can find another speedy receiver. So, I mean, honestly, that is a big deal. What I thought was kind of crazy was the Raiders letting go of Michael Crabtree. I mean, they just signed Jordy Nelson, but Crabtree's younger. I mean, he didn't have a great season last year, but they didn't have a good team last year. The year before, he was slaying it with Amari Cooper.
I feel like they may have shouldered some blame on him for their lackluster offense when in reality it was coaching and it was a multitude of things with the Raiders. Offensive line troubles, injuries, just a whole bunch of stuff. But, you know, whether they blamed – they're not going to solely blame Crabtree, but he definitely didn't produce this year like they thought he would. And so I guess they figured he wasn't worth the money. They did pay him a bit. They paid him quite a bit of money to come over from free agency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean – it's going to be interesting how all that plays out because all these trades, you know, you got Sammy Watkins now in the AFC West over there with the Chiefs. They're going to have a scary offense, man. Kareem Hunt, rookie of the year, won the rushing title last year. Travis Kelce, if he can stay healthy, he's just another Rob Gronkowski. Maybe less injury prone than him. And then you have Tyreek Hill, who's
He's a freak of nature.
I swear to God, he runs like a 4.1 40 maybe.
He is so fast.
And then you'll have Mahomes, if he pans out to be the gunslinger they think he is, I think they win the AFC West.
I'm interested to see it. I don't think they'll win the AFC West.
I think we know you think they're going to win the AFC West.
Hey, I'm a Chargers fan, but I honestly think the Chargers have one of the more complete teams in the AFC West this year.
Okay,
you. With the moves they've made in the offseason and are still trying to make. They're still trying to lock down a safety, whether it be Trey Boston before he leaves in free agency, or if they can pick up someone like Tyrann Mathieu, or if they can get a safety in the draft.
Oh, yeah, with the Texans, bud.
Oh, come on.
I know, I was wondering where he was going to sign. I had no idea. But I think they should go for, what's his name? Mike Mitchell from the Steelers. He just got released. That was a dude that was all pissed off about people saying, like, they should make football softer. He was saying, like, oh, this is a man's game. You know, that's that guy. So, I mean, he's a baller. He's pretty good. So, I mean, if the Chargers could pick him up, that'd be a good acquisition for them and their defense. What do you think about Case Keenum going to the Broncos? How do you think he's going to fit in there? Do you think they're going to take a quarterback?
Well, Case Keenum had a good year this year. I won't lie. But he has his past behind him.
Yeah.
He has a couple iffy years there where didn't look too hot.
Granted, the thing with Keenum and what's his face? Foles. Guess who was there, you know? He was on the Rams where he threw 9 touchdowns and 11 interceptions and then for 2,000 yards. And then he also threw for 800 yards, 4 TDs, and 1 interception. But, I mean, like, overall, he has a 61% completion rate, 46 and 27 with the TD interception ratio. But when he was at the Rams, Jeff Fisher is a quarterback killer. That's like Jared Goff's season. His first rookie season was garbage because they had Jeff Fisher ruining the ship. You know,
that's true. But
I think as much as I love, because people, as you know, now you will know, I am a Vikings fan now because the Chargers abandoned me in San Diego, and
Dean Spanos abandoned you. The Chargers themselves did not abandon.
That does not matter. Anyways, we'll get to that, though. We'll get to that. But he did have this life with the Vikings. And I kind of think I would like to see if I was part of an ownership, I would want to see another season like that with the production of that. Because, you know, it could be a fluke, you know. He could turn around and take it up for the Broncos. So I'm kind of glad we didn't keep him and sign him to, like, a huge deal. Because, you know, we like Teddy, he signed with the Jets. Sam Bradford, I don't care where he goes because he sucks and never plays. And, now we got Kirk Cousins. So what do you think about his deal? I mean, 3 years, $84 million, fully guaranteed, never happened before. What do you think about that? Does he deserve that?
I have a lot of faith in Kirk Cousins. I don't know if he's the quarterback that a lot of people think he is, but I definitely think he has the potential to be a mainstay on an NFL roster. He's been playing with the Redskins, and they've had offensive line troubles. They've had receiver troubles. He had no one to throw to this last year. They've had running game troubles. Like, he's just been hit with all these offensive troubles. And still come out of it looking pretty decent. So I think he definitely has the potential to be one of the top, I'd say top eight, top five quarterbacks in the NFL.
I mean, he's only 29. I saw him in the Redskins. I wasn't too sure his first couple years. But, you know, they had a sketchy team, not really much around him. But then he turned on in his third year. For three straight years, he's thrown over 4,000 yards. This last year, he had a great season. I mean, 4,000 yards, 27 interceptions, or 27 TDs, 13 interceptions, not bad. When you have nobody to throw to and your best receivers, Crowder. And then, you know, a defense that was lackluster for sure. I think the guaranteed 84 mil is what he was looking for sure. And I think it's okay because he's a quarterback and quarterbacks play so long. Unless some kind of catastrophic injury happens, I think he deserves it. And I think he's going to take us to the Super Bowl. He's going to take us to the promised land because our defense is just absolutely on a tear. And we're only going to get better. We're going to have Dalvin Cook back. Kirk Cousins is going to be slinging the ball to my boy Adam Thielen and Stephon. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, I think they're going to run pretty good in here.
I don't know. They'll have some stiff competition. They are in one of the harder divisions there, the NFC North.
I mean, we don't have to worry about the Lions because, I mean, I'm a Lion.
Hey, you better relax.
Everybody, he loves Matt Stafford. So that's why we're going there.
I do love Matt Stafford. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
He's getting paid like one of the best.
He's kind of suffering from Kirk Cousins' disease right now, though, with no pieces around him to help him out.
I mean, he's a grinder, man. Like, he doesn't quit. That's the thing I like about Stafford. He throws the ball deep. He doesn't care. He'll go for that extra first down. He'll lower his shoulder. He doesn't care, man. I like the heart he has.
Yeah, I like that they can be down 20, and he still thinks they have a chance to
win.
And he's done it before. He's brought him back from down 20, down 17 in the fourth quarter, driven him down the field, and then wins the game on a last-second drive. He's got heart, that's for sure. I don't know if the Lions have the pieces to do anything this year. I think they may squeak in as a wild card, but I don't think they'll win the division.
NFC's pretty stacked again. We'll see how it goes for them. I mean, let's talk about some other acquisitions that are going on. I mean, we saw Jerry Tauchi leave the precious Chargers. Oh, Jerry.
Jerry who?
Tauchi.
He didn't do anything for us last year. We briefly talked about this in text messages, Steve. Jerry Otauchu did nothing for us last year.
He has potential if you give him some more playing time, I think.
I think so. I don't think he fit into Gus Bradley's scheme, which could have been an issue. He's not a speedy guy. He's really strong.
Yeah.
He's a strong, strong guy, but I don't think he's got the moves, the speed to compete with guys like Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa. How are you going to kick one of them off the field to let Jerry Otauchu provide basic pressure? You know?
Yeah, it's not a good substitution to make. I think he's going to fit well into the 49ers defense. I mean, honestly, man, like, I know that they won the last five games because they had Jimmy Garoppolo, but the defense that they have, their defensive line is pretty scary. They're going to have him. I mean, yeah, he's in and out. They had Tank Carradine. They have DeForest Buckner, who was from Oregon. He's a beast.
He's trash.
He's not 6'7", 300 pounds.
He's too big.
Nah, man. He's going to kill it.
He's got no moves. He's got power moves. That's it. No speed moves.
They got Paseko Lukombo. He's pretty good. He's a linebacker. He's up and coming. He's not there yet, but, I mean, he'll get there.
I'll let everyone know that I have an unfair bias against the 49ers. I absolutely hate that organization. It's a family thing.
Okay.
That, and just as long as I can remember, I just always hated every single player on that team. I've hated Kaepernick. I've hated Alex Smith before he went to the Chiefs.
You know what? My boy Cap, when they beat – who did they play in the Super Bowl? They played the Ravens. He carried that team to the Super Bowl, and he was killing it.
I won't deny that. I'm not going to say I think he's a bad player.
So I get it. There's just teams that you just something in your soul and your heart makes.
Yeah, it's the 49ers uniform. Honestly, you put Cap in a freaking black suit, and hell yeah, I'm down, dude. He's probably a cool guy, but when he's got that 49ers uniform on, I can't mess with him. I don't.
It's like Raiders, man. Like, I will always forever.
Exactly. It's like the Raiders. It's like the Patriots. It's like the Steelers.
Yeah.
Just can't hang with those guys.
It's not happening.
It's just not happening. When I see those colors, those uniforms, I go, a little part of me just wants to throw it up. Can't handle it.
All right. Well, let's see what else we got. Who else?
Oh, hey, I got one right up my alley. Chargers signed place kicker Caleb Sturgis. Don't know how that's going to work. You know, Chargers have experimented with free agent kickers before, but everyone's probably familiar with the name, at least Caleb Sturgis. It's not some no-name kid out of college. Young ho.
Dude, these kickers, they don't get enough credit, man. Like, what's his face? I'm trying to think of the guy. Obviously, Nick Kaden, everybody hates him, even though he's like one of the most accurate kickers ever. But you screw one thing up, and everyone wants to kill you. And then you get released from the team because they're like, oh, all the fans think you suck, and, you know, no one supports you. And then someone else will pick you up. It's just, it kind of rotates. Kickers are the ones that rotate the most, I think, because they get blamed the most. Which, I mean, they do have one job, but that one job is so ungodly stressful.
I think being a kicker is kind of like being an offensive lineman, where you're remembered more for the plays you don't make than the plays you do. Like, yeah, kickers may hit some game winners here and there that are pretty important and pretty special, but when they miss
a kick,
when they miss a kick or a lineman misses a block, like, the fans will never forget that. That goes down in history.
People remember. When he missed the game winner against the Jets, when we should have beat them.
Just ask Gary Anderson when he missed the field goal in the 1999 NFC Championship for the Minnesota Vikings.
I know, man. That was awful. And then, I mean, let's look at some other players that, I mean, everyone's going around. It's just crazy. Like, everyone's switching teams. And Isaiah Crowell, you know, he's not on the Browns anymore. He signed with the Jets. I thought he was good there. I mean, they did just get Carlos Hyde, which is essentially, they're the same style runners. I like Carlos Hyde. He's a workhorse. But that offense is going to be pretty weird. Tyrod Taylor and, you know, now they got Hyde. It's going to be just interesting.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's see who else. There's a lot of, it's just crazy. People getting released and then Hyde and then.
Who has Carlos Hyde?
The Browns.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. But, you know, it's so bothering me, though. Like I said, I think I wrote one of these on my blogs. How I know, I firmly believe Colin Kaepernick is getting blackballed, man. He is a talented quarterback, obviously. He led the 49ers to the Super Bowl, man. There's no doubt that he has talent. He's got speed, size, arm strength, accuracy. He's got everything. He's just got an opinion about our society, and they don't like that. But you got people like Tom Savage getting signed by the Saints and Mike Glennon getting signed to the Cardinals. When they can't throw a ball, it's pissing me off, honestly, that these trash quarterbacks get backup jobs when Kaepernick's out there doing good in the community, but they're like, no, nah, I don't want that publicity, dog.
You know, if you had asked me a few months ago how I feel about it, I probably would have said, you know, no, he's not getting hired because he doesn't have the numbers.
Yeah.
The more I think about it, though, I do start to see some of the blackballing that you're talking about. Just like you're saying, with these terrible, terrible quarterbacks being signed by other teams, even as third string, second string, practice squad guys, no one will give Kaepernick a chance.
And that's what I don't get it because – you know, in his career, he has 72 touchdowns and 30 interceptions, 12,000 yards. And then we look at his rushing yards. His rushing yards, man, he's got 2,300 rushing yards as a fucking quarterback. Okay?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't get how you can say he can't even earn a second or third string job when you got people like Savage who can't even hit a deep ball, like, one out of 10 times, you know? Like, come on.
Yeah. I think, honestly, what it could be is the NFL doesn't want to lose fans, and they know that there's a certain group of people who doesn't really appreciate what Colin Kaepernick has to say.
I just think, okay, but if those people that don't like him, they always say, leave it out of football, why don't they leave his political views out of football and just watch him play football then? And you don't have to pay attention to what he's doing out there. You just got to watch him play. Did anybody care that Aaron Hernandez was a gangbanger killing people? Or did they like watching him catching balls and slaying ass?
Well, once they found out he was a gangbanger killing people, they cared. And people didn't want to fucking watch it anymore.
He got arrested. He was still playing until he got arrested. But I'm just saying.
But nobody knew he was killing people.
That's okay. But
that's a bad example.
Like Bart Scott talked about, people used to fuck with
him. No, look at Adrian Peterson. His reputation suffered a ton because of the whole child abuse scandal, and it definitely lost him some fans, and it definitely lost him some respect.
But he's back.
He is back.
His kid's ass with like a switch. I get it, parenting opinion, and here and there. I don't care. But I'm saying,
I see what you're saying, but at the same time, it's not the same. But it's a good example of something similar. Like Adrian Peterson definitely lost fans. There won't be a lot of people, you know, buying his jerseys. One, because he's not producing, and two, because they don't like him off the field.
Yeah.
But with Kaepernick, I think it's a little different, just because it's a political thing and not a personal thing. Like Ray Rice will never step foot in the NFL again, because people hate him and they saw what he did. But you know. With Colin Kaepernick, it's just kind of weird. It's a political thing, and they know that roughly 50% of the U.S. population feels one certain way about the issue that he stood on.
They can't have him.
He, Yeah, they don't.
They just think it's bad.
I don't think it's an NFL decision. I think it's a team by team. And
oh yeah,
unlucky for him, 32 teams decided that they're going to pass on him.
Unfortunately, I know what you're talking about.
But hey, in a couple of years, the XFL will be back, and maybe we'll see Colin Kaepernick heading up a team there.
It's McMahon, here we come, Johnny Manziel. Just kidding, he can't play.
Johnny Manziel, and wait, he can't play?
No, the XFL said they're not going to have politics. No criminals can play, and like, yeah, they got some bullshit rules. It's crazy. They're like, I'm like, dude, then you can't. You're not going to have any players, bro. You know what I mean? Like, you'll have Tim Tebow maybe, but that's it.
So then that means Colin Kaepernick can't play and Johnny Manziel can't play?
Nope.
Well, they've officially lost me as a viewer.
Exactly. Everyone wants to see Johnny Football and Tim Tebow week one.
I want to see the people who didn't get a shot in the NFL or players who, you know, came out of college and you know, didn't get drafted or
so like my,
want to keep
playing. Or like, what's that guy from the Chargers who got accused of rape? His name is Banks, Brian Banks. He was in jail for 8 years, came back out after the girl said, actually, no, he didn't rape me. He lost like 8 years of his life in his career, and no one took him back because he hasn't played so long. You know, give him a chance in the XFL. Give Michael Sam, the guy who got ousted because he's gay and he wasn't performing as people thought he should. So, you know, he got kind of dropped off. But it's crazy, man. It's just too many things to, like, take into consideration for me as far as, like, you know, just let people play.
I just want to see a version of football where people can celebrate how they want.
Yeah. I'm glad.
People can dance. People can do their pelvic thrust if they feel like it. You know,
I know.
Shotgun a beer in the end zone if they want to.
Now that third thrust is going to get you a penalty.
That third pump will always get you a penalty. Yes, I agree. But you know, yeah, I want to see some WWE type antics added to football. I want to see,
A show. You know,
what'd you say?
You want to see a show?
Yeah, exactly. The XFL is going to be a show. It's going to be about entertaining fans.
Exactly. So I have a question for you. This is a big topic of debate as far as like, you know, franchises and how they're dealing with their people. So Aaron Rodgers had a pretty close relationship with Jordy Nelson, and apparently they didn't even ask Rodgers anything about letting him go. I'm pretty sure they just texted Jordy Nelson and said, hey, we're cutting your ass. Do you think they should have involved Rodgers more and kind of got more of his opinion? I mean, personally, I think they kind of should have. I mean, you have to keep that man happy. He's your franchise, man. Without him, that team's 2-14 for the last 5 years. And, you know, he had, like, a personal relationship with Jordy, and you don't even consult him or ask him, like, hey, they didn't even ask him to kind of resize his deal or anything. They just cut him.
I don't know much about the story. You know, I heard that they didn't consult Aaron Rodgers, but you know, it may have been done out of fear. Maybe they didn't want to make him mad by telling him, hey, we're going to cut Jordy Nelson, or
yeah.
I don't know. I think maybe they should have given him a say, said, or at least some input, like, hey, we're thinking about cutting Jordy Nelson. You know, is that something he's a good friend of yours? Is that something you're okay with? You know, he's just not performing like he used to.
Yeah.
Or if Aaron Rodgers had said something like, you know, no, I want him on my team.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I think they should have. I definitely should have talked to him about it, because without Aaron Rodgers, that team's absolute trash. So I don't really know.
They've got, and pardon my my joke here, but they've got Swiss cheese for defense. Their defense has more holes than those hats on their head. They just, I don't know. That team is not good without Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And to take away one of his favorite targets without even telling him, that's a little shady.
And some people's arguments are like, oh, he had he didn't have any games with over like 40 receiving yards, or, you know, he didn't have his best years, his worst year. It's like, dude, his boy Aaron Rodgers got hurt week four when Anthony Barr on the Vikings smashed his collarbone.
Yeah, and so you couldn't have, you didn't have Aaron Rodgers to throw him up the ball 60 yards down the field.
He doesn't throw deep balls very well. He's not consistent. Brett Hundley's not a good quarterback to me. And then you're going to blame Jordy Nelson and his age and his decreased productivity. I don't think that's okay.
Yeah.
He has Rodgers. He's a baller. Just like Devontae Adams, just like Cobb. Everyone on that team's elevated when they have Rodgers and taken down when they don't. So, I don't know.
Who was it a couple years ago? Might have been Devontae Adams. It might have been James Jones. Packers had a wide receiver who was like on their squad for a long time, got released, and they brought him back like at the very end of the year.
I think that was.
And he ended up, yeah, and he ended up getting like a 80-yard touchdown, something crazy to end the game, like a 60-yard touchdown or something. I don't know. They definitely should have given him some warning. You know, hey, we're going to cut Jordy Nelson or...
I saw your Chargers lose Matt Flossen to the Colts because you guys got Mike Pouncey, but I don't know, man. I liked Flossen. He was a...
I like Flossen, but Mike Pouncey I definitely think is going to be the best.
He is.
Matt Flossen is good. I was actually wondering this because I hadn't heard that Mike Flossen had left. Mm-hmm. I wondered what they would do with him, maybe move him to guard or something, but no, I'm okay with that. Mike Pouncey is a 3-time Pro Bowler. He's insane.
Brother of Mark.
He's an insane center. He's up there with the best in the league.
Saturday. He's not in the league.
He's no Jeff Saturday. He's no Nick Hardwick, but I think he's definitely one of the best centers in the league right now. And he's a 3-time Pro Bowler. You can't really argue with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's Steph Cooper right there.
And they used half of their available cap space to get him. So, mm-hmm. You know.
Okay. But so.
That gives us a strong offensive line with Dan Feeney, Mike Pouncey, Forrest Lamp is supposed to be pretty good once he comes back from his injury.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be one of the best offensive linemen in the draft last year, but he got injured, tore his ACL.
He got injured in the preseason, didn't he?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so one thing, this is the last topic for this episode. We're running up on 52 minutes, so that's good. We're doing good here. What I want to talk about, it's coming up pretty soon here, NFL drafts. It's going to be wild. So we have, let's see, look at the draft order here. So we have the Browns, obviously, number one pick. You know, they did just get Tyrod Taylor, so I still think they're going to draft a quarterback. Then you got New York Giants, number two. The Jets just moved to number three, trading with the Colts their sixth pick, and I think they gave him 2 second-round picks this year and a second-round pick next year. Kind of a lot to trade away just to get up 3 spots, so they must be eyeing somebody they really want. And they have the Browns again. Wow. Browns have number 4 pick too. Wow. Okay. And then the Broncos number 5. Colts number 6. Tampa Bay number 7. Chicago 8. 9. San Francisco. And the Raiders 10. We'll just go with the top 10 right now. Who do you think the Browns are going to take first, man?
Well, from the mock drafts I've seen, they either have them taking Saquon Barkley or Sam Darnold.
That's what I'm seeing.
Now, I think Saquon Barkley is probably the best athlete in this draft, and to pass up on him, they do have a pick at 4, so they have pick at 1 and 4, so whoever they don't take at 1 will probably get snatched up in the following 2 picks, unless...
Okay.
The next 2 teams are going exclusively for a certain player. Yeah. But I think they'll have to take Barkley number 1. And then it's going to be between Darnold, Allen, and Rosen for who goes to them at four.
Yeah.
Because there's talk about the Giants taking a quarterback and the Jets definitely need a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Giants could take offensive line, though. That's one of their picks, one of their options. So we have that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't see them passing up on Saquon Barkley at number one. I think he's got to go number one. He's a freak of nature.
I definitely agree with you. Saquon Barkley is by far the most talented athlete in this draft over the last couple of years, honestly. But with the move of getting Tyrod Taylor, I personally think they're still going to take a quarterback first because I don't think that the Browns franchise believes in Tyrod Taylor as being their franchise long-term answer. I see him as being like a bridge to whoever they draft. Maybe they play Tyrod first, see how he performs. If he starts sucking it up a little bit, they might throw in the rookie, which I think is personally going to be Sam Darnold, with USC. Mel Kiper's got him as number six, but he's got a big frame, man. He's 6'4", 225. He's quick. He's accurate. I mean, he did have a lot of turnovers, which isn't really great, but that could be fixed, kind of. Personally, I would take Josh Allen because he's giant. 6'5", 237. He's got wheels. He's got the freaking biggest arm in the draft by far. I mean, I know he's from Wyoming. He doesn't play the big schools, but, you know, Carson Wentz, he went to, you know, was in North Dakota State or South Dakota State.
Yeah.
He wasn't playing these blue chip fucking teams that you see. He wasn't playing USC every week or Louisville or, you know what I'm saying? But I mean, I don't think it actually matters. There's a guard up in the top five, Quentin Nelson from Notre Dame. So I think the Browns are going to take Darnold, which would leave Saquon Barkley for the Giants, which they desperately, desperately, desperately need a running game. They have nobody, and they've had nobody for the last few years. Obviously, you see what that has done to their offense. I mean, they're pretty much known to have passed the ball every single time, and their offensive line is just horrendous. So I could see them picking Nelson, but I don't think that's a smart pick with Barkley there. You know, we got the Jets. Whoever's left as far as, like, Rosen, if it's Rosen, Darnold, or Allen, I have no idea who they're going for. So that's going to be kind of a toss-up. Where do you think Baker Mayfield's going, huh?
I'd like to see Baker Mayfield drop a little bit. And I've seen some people talk about, you know, his character issues, whatever. But there's talks that he could be going to the Jets. I mean, you know, perfect scenario. I'd like to have him end up at the Chargers, but
no way.
Not likely. Not at 17. I don't think he'll fall that far.
I think he'd go as early as the Broncos at five, dude.
I don't know. Do you think he's better than Josh Rosen?
It's tough, man. I think Baker Mayfield is, as much as his attitude is a problem, he's not Johnny Manziel, that's for sure.
Definitely not.
He just got a little bit of the quarterback complex, maybe a little.
Well, see, personally, I don't have a problem at all with Baker Mayfield's attitude on the field. You know, people talk about that crotch grab incident. I have no problem with that. Honestly, the guys were talking crap to him. The fans were chanting stuff at him, you know. And people were hitting him late. People were, like, grabbing on his shirt and stuff, you know. You get fired up, and he likes to win, and he likes to win big. So
I will say that's why I would take him over Rosen, because he's got the heart of a champion, man. He wants to win so bad, and he's a leader. I see Rosen as a polished quarterback, but he also had that shoulder injury at the end of the year where he didn't play in the bowl game. He's kind of cocky. If you look at that interview, he was like, yeah, I'm definitely the best quarterback here. I mean, you know, you want to have confidence in yourself, but
yeah,
a little arrogant to me.
there's definitely a line where, you know, when you're around your peers, you got to kind of chill out a little bit.
Yeah.
When you're talking about how good you are.
Because everyone's good. Everyone's got their own opinion on you, so it'll be...
Well, Josh Rosen definitely didn't win the Heisman, I know that.
Yeah.
But, you know, Baker Mayfield, I actually really like him just because he had the chance to go to the NFL last year. Wouldn't have gone as high as he's projected now, but he stayed to try to win a championship at Oklahoma. They ended up falling short to Georgia, but he tried. He did. He went back for his team, and I think that's commendable. I don't know. I personally, I think he's a little better than Josh Allen and Sam Darnold. I've seen Josh Allen play in person, being a Boise State student, and he has not impressed me. I don't know if the Boise State defense just was on a tear that night, but he looked bad. He had like 200 yards and one touchdown. Just not a good game at all for Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And that's judging him on one game, which isn't fair, but that's what I saw. And as far as I remember, you know, his stats other games weren't that crazy either. He wasn't throwing 605 TDs. He was putting up 302 TDs and stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be just exact. I mean, everyone's talking about the quarterbacks and where Buckley's going to go. I want to see somebody like I like Vita Vea a lot. Big defensive tackle from Washington.
Yes.
I think you're going to be happy because he's ranked as the 21st player, 21st best player. And your boys and the Lions, they're the 20th pick. And, you know, one of their top needs is a defensive tackle. But I think the Seahawks could snatch him since they just lost Michael Bennett. And they kind of need a space eater, which is what he is.
Yeah.
I mean, this dude is 6'4", 346, man. I mean, he's just like Holy Nada, pretty much. I mean, he's just one of those big dudes that's just going to eat up the middle. He's going to be like a Jamal Williams from the old Charger days, you know what I mean?
Yeah, or Vince Wilfork.
Oh, yeah. Big dudes just
eating up. Just a big dude. Yeah. Who else? Who are some other big names in college that?
Fitzpatrick, Alabama. He's ranked number 2.
That's true. There's another Alabama defensive end who's supposed to be going really high, isn't he?
That's Bradley Chubb. He's from NC State, but he's ranked number 3. But there are quite a few Alabama players going in the top 20 for sure. Calvin Ridley, their receiver, he's a baller. I mean, he's kind of small though. He's 6'1", 190, like. Mm-hmm. I know he's better than that. Now, Rashad Evans is our linebacker. He's pretty good. He's pretty big, 6'3", 230. And then you got Deron Payne. He's a defensive tackle. So, I really want to watch it. I'm definitely going to be watching it the first couple of days. And see how it kind of pans out. It's going to change the league for sure this year.
Yeah. Wow. Man, it's so different how many mock drafts there are, you know?
And you got Mel Kiper and, like, there's those guys on ESPN, too.
Yep. And they've got, you know, different – each website has their own different mock draft and just tons of stuff.
Yeah.
I like this one. The CBS Sports says that at 23, the L.A. Rams will take Leighton Vander Esch from Boise State. He's a freak of nature.
What position is he?
Linebacker. He's a freak.
How big is he?
I'd watch some of his statistics.
What's his name?
Leighton Vander Esch. He's 6'4", 256 pounds.
I've seen this dude.
Where's the neck pad? Yeah. You see him. He flies around the field like a boss. He's got hands. He can catch. He's a freak.
He looks like Brian Urlacher to me, like one of those kind of guys.
He's almost like that. Yeah, he could probably put on a little more muscle if he wanted to look like Brian Urlacher, but, you know, who's going to be like Brian Urlacher? That's a tough name to compare him to.
He looks like he's speedy enough to be like a Luke Kuechly almost too.
He's kind of like that. Yes, he's speedy. He's got hands, and he can do. You can trust him to make solo tackles, which is one of my favorite things of his. Is he'll grab you, and if he grabs you, you're going down. There's no escaping. He makes solo tackles very, very well.
Nice.
Let's see. Who's some other big names in here? No, this is who I was talking about. Deron Payne from Alabama, defensive tackle.
He's going to go.
He's projected by NFL to go 11th to the Dolphins.
Really?
He's big. He's only 6'2". He's got a little height disadvantage, but as a defensive tackle, he's got no shortage of weight. He's 308 pounds. He's a big boy.
Right. Well, I think that is going to be it for today's episode. I mean, we got a lot of stuff covered. Next time, we're definitely going to be talking about some baseball coming up, my favorite sport. Christian doesn't necessarily like it as much as I do, but he's going to talk about it anyway.
I mean, I like the Padres.
There you go. They're going to be ballers this year. And then we got we'll talk a little bit more about the NBA and the playoffs, how that's going to shape up. And then NHL, the forgotten sport that nobody talks about. So we're going to be talking about that too. So tune in for that. And appreciate you listening. So we'll have this coming out for you pretty soon. And it will be less than a week before our next episode.
All right. See you guys later.
All right. Howdy.